Okay, so we had a reading earlier about Abram. And Elsie was telling us about how God leads. Wow, it's really difficult to see this in the light. So God leads. And God provides. And, better move that out of the way. God has a plan. Okay? Now, did we see that in the story of Abram? That God was leading and God providing and God having a plan. So, does anyone know how old Abram was in the story? Anyone have any guesses? 75 years old. So Abram was 75 years old when God led him. Where was Abram living at the time? You have to shout, I can't hear. Actually, move on from there to Haran. So Abram was living in Haran when God led him. Because God leads. Who was he living with at the time? His wife. Excellent. His uncle. Well, I presume his uncle. His father. Who else? His nephew, Lot. And his brothers. Okay, so Abram was living with his brothers, his father, his wife. I'm not sure who else was there in the extended family apart from his nephew Lot. And then God led him. God said, leave. Leave your country. Leave your people. Leave your father's household and go to a place that I will show you. Did God tell him where he was going? No, he just said, leave and I'll show you and I'll get you there. So when he was 75 years old, he set out with his nephew Lot to go and ended up in the land of Canaan. He left Haran. So, but did God provide? Well, in this story, God tells us that he will provide. He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we see that God... And God leads and God provides. But did God have a plan? What was it? His plan was to get Abraham, firstly, to the land of Canaan, secondly, to bless Abraham, and thirdly, to bless all the peoples through him. But Abraham, what didn't he have that he was missing? He was missing a child. He didn't have a child. So how can God bless him if he didn't have a child? And later on in the book of Genesis, Abraham asked God that very question. What's the point if I haven't got a child? But did God provide? Get the right colour. God provided. Who did he provide? Isaac. So Abraham had a son, Isaac. Yes, Isaac is there. Excellent. So God provided a son, Isaac. And then when God led Abram up a mountain to sacrifice Isaac, God provided again. God provided a ram in his place. So God led, God provided, because God had a plan. But the plan was a bit longer than that, because from Isaac came two more sons. Esau and Jacob. And then from Jacob came 12 sons. I won't ask you to name all of those, but who knows who the fourth son was? Judah. The fourth son was Judah, and through Judah came someone rather famous about 1,000 years later, which was... No! David, King David, second king of Israel, King David. God had a plan that he wanted to create a new nation and a kingdom with David to be the king, and later, another 1,000 years after that, the one who was known as the son of David, Jesus. And so all along, God had a plan, and he led Abraham, and all along the way, he provided. Do you think Abraham knew the plan at the start? No. Do you think Abraham knew, first of all, where God was leading him? Do you think Abraham knew how God was going to provide? But Abraham followed anyway. And it was, of course, Christmas that we celebrate now, Jesus' birth. And Jesus coming to this world, God's provision for us. God's fulfillment of his plan to Abram, where he said, I'll bless all the peoples in the world through you. Because God leads, God provides, and God has a plan. But does God still lead today? God still has a plan. God still provides. God still leads. 6 years ago, my family and I were living in Central Asia, and we didn't know exactly where we were coming. We knew we were going to come back to England, but we didn't know where. But we knew that somewhere along the line, God had a plan, and so we just had to follow where he was leading. And he led us to this place which we only knew of from, well, the office, called Slough. Now, being led to Slough may not seem like the most salubrious place in the earth, but we trusted that God had a plan. And God did provide for us with hundreds of different ways, not least with there being somebody in the church here who was able to give me a lift to work, because he worked in the same office that I was going to be working in. So we see that even today, God leads, God provides, and God has a plan. Elsie.
Thank you. I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder how long he can juggle for.
I'm thinking that too.
I won't put you in the spot because it's not Christmas morning and I don't pick on people other than Christmas morning. I don't think so. God leads, God provides, God has a plan. And do you believe that for your life?
Yes.
Isn't it incredible? I know that this morning there's not a lot of us here, but wasn't it great to hear all these different languages that we have, how God has led us all here, and God provides, and that for every person in this church this morning, we can be assured that God's got a plan, plans to give us future and a hope. And we're going to sing that song as we uplift the offering from the breaking of the daylight. Thanks, Ruth.
Can you see? It's a sprout. Did everyone enjoy having sprouts for their Christmas dinner? Oh, mixed opinion there. I didn't say did you have them, did you enjoy them? Now, this is a special sprout. When we were picking the sprouts off the stalk, we found this sprout, and this sprout is sprouting sprouts. So there's about four little sprouts all in one. I've never seen one of those before. And I was really intrigued by this, so I showed my parents and I showed my children, and they thought it was really exciting to have a sprout sprouting sprouts. But we all enjoy special things about Christmas. Remember that one for later. Oh yeah, we had a story about Paul, didn't we? Paul. Who was Paul? Paul? You didn't want this again. All right, so Paul was an apostle. He was being led by Jesus to share the gospel throughout a particular region. Now, Paul and his companions travelled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. So they travelled through, but the trouble was, when they got over here, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from being able to get into the province of Asia. So, instead, they went over this way. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia. But they couldn't get through there either. The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. So, instead, they travelled on to Troas. And during the night, while they're in Troas, Paul had a vision for a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us, begging them, come to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, he thought, maybe God's saying something. And he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the message there in Macedonia. So, in that story, did God lead? To, first of all, away from the province of Asia. So Paul had a great idea, and he thought this is the way to go. But God said, no, not the province of Asia. And then over this way, not into Bithynia. And finally into Troas, and on to Macedonia afterwards. So God led. Did God provide? It's a bit difficult to tell from the story, but we know that God did keep Paul alive. He provided some nice accommodation in prison later in the chapter. He provided shipwrecks later in the book of Acts. But God kept Paul alive through all these sorts of troubles in order to get him to where he wanted to be, because God had a plan. So God was leading Paul in these ways because he had a plan. Now, how do we know about the plan? Because it's written down in the book of Acts. Now, there's something special in this passage, which if you don't have it open in the Bible in front of you, you might not notice, and it requires a bit of memory of your English language from primary school, which is about pronouns. What are pronouns? Does anyone know? He, she, it, I, we, they, all that sort of thing. Now, in this story, it's very clever, and it does something you're not meant to do in English language, because it starts off saying, Paul, he did this, and they went over there. And it finishes off by saying, we went there. So what does that mean? The person who wrote the book joined them. Who wrote the book of Acts? Dr. Luke. So Dr. Luke joined them. So God provided an extra companion when they got to Troas in Dr. Luke joining them, because God had a plan, and his plan was that this would all be recorded about what God did in amazing ways throughout Paul's travels around the world, because you read that Luke basically stayed with Paul the rest of the way. God leads, God provides, and God has a plan. Now, the plan was, in this case, for Paul to share about Jesus. Now, you may have received one of these. Did everyone receive one of these in their Christmas letter from the church? If not, we can get one to you. And it says here, as for us, we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. And that's going to be our motto verse for 2019. We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. Because what Paul was doing, he wasn't sort of saying, okay, you've got to learn this and go and study for years in the Bible and the Old Testament. All he was doing was saying, I met Jesus on the street. It's just shining light on the way to Damascus. And it just blew my mind and it just changed everything in my life. Paul was just telling about what he had seen and heard, what Jesus had done in his life. And that's what talking about the gospel is about. When it says he preached the gospel, he was just saying, this is the good news. Look what Jesus has done. He's completely changed me. And he can do the same for you as well. Now, I remember when I was a child at primary school a few years ago, about 8 years old, and I heard someone saying, we should preach the gospel. We should tell everyone about Jesus. So I decided to be good. And I got a Bible. There must be a Bible here somewhere. We're in church. And I got a Bible. And I wrote out some verses. And I went to the smallest of the boys in my class and thought, I'll tell him about the gospel from this. And so I tried to read him the verses and tell him about this. And the conversation lasted approximately 10 seconds because he really wasn't interested. Well, that was a miserable failure, wasn't it? And then when I got to secondary school, I had some other friends called Kevin and David. And Kevin and David, well, they came to church and they became Christians and they're still following Jesus today. So what did I do differently in telling them about Jesus than when I told Paul in the first place? And you know what? As I thought about this yesterday, I realised the answer was, I haven't got a clue. In fact, I don't even remember ever talking to them about Jesus. I don't remember inviting them to church or anything. But it was just through chatting with them as friends in school and sharing my life with them in a normal sort of way that they were interested, and they came along to the church, became part of the youth group. They heard the gospel through the church and through myself and through others, and they have put their trust in Jesus and they're still following him today. You see, it's not some big fancy thing talking about the gospel. It's just this. It's just telling people what we've seen and heard, telling what Jesus has done in our lives, telling the story about the plan that God had for us, telling about God, how he's provided for us, telling about how he's led us personally, even if it means telling people about coming to Slough. That's all it is about. And that's what Jesus wants to lead us to do. Elsie.